I was joking with Gail last night because I met her last week in our small group, and she said she goes on Tuesday nights and Wednesday morning and keeps track of what the speaker wears if they wear the same outfit twice. This is the same outfit, so.
Different shoes.
I was like, different shoes, you're right. Because last night, right in the beginning, I was on heels and I like was like, oh, as I was talking, started. So, flats today, Gail. About 8 years ago, while working with high school kids for the Ministry of Young Life, a youth ministry that my husband and I have worked with for the past 14 years, we were living up near the Poconos, and I got to know two sisters who were coming out regularly, and I was building a close relationship with them. Let's call them Sarah and Emma. Sarah and Emma had grown up in the community. Their mother worked a part-time job for the school district. Their dad had worked a steady job for local years in town. And they both were involved in school and after-school activities and sports, and they had grown to love Young Life and had been a part of pretty much everything we did. They really started connecting with their volunteer leaders, and they both had started relationships with Christ and were really growing in their faith and bringing their friends out so they too could hear the gospel. They were normal high school girls with lots of friends and lots of interests and both pretty bubbly and outgoing personalities. Being years into working with this ministry, having studied both youth ministry and psychology in college to really prepare myself, over the years I'd come to experience walking with kids through all sorts of crises. Sadly, living in the sin-torn world and working with high school kids, I'd become quite versed in helping them deal with the pain and suffering they encountered in their lives. One night, Jeff and I had all of our volunteer leaders over for a meeting at our house when I got a call from Sarah, the older sister. She was frantic and crying, and I could barely make out what she was saying in her breathless panic. She told me that Child Services had been told by an anonymous tip to come to her family's house that day. She told me that her home was in such bad condition that Child Services said that if they did not get it cleaned up by tomorrow, they would be removing her little sister, Emma, who was the only minor living there at the time. My mind raced. I remember Sarah once confiding in me that she and Emma had never once had a friend in their home, that their own cousins and uncles and aunts who they constantly spent time with had never stepped foot in their house. She told me it was a mess, but that was about all she would tell me. Jeff and I and our team of five leaders got in our cars and drove straight to Sarah's house to do whatever we could. There was no way we could have ever been prepared for what we were about to find. We pulled up to the double wide with gaping holes in its walls and floors and roof and walked in the door, instantly holding our breath and trying not to react on our faces to what we were met with as we stepped in. There was no stepping in to be had, as the floors of this tiny metal home were stacked about a foot deep in garbage and hoarding throughout. There was not an inch of floor, counter, bed, sofa, TV, dining room table, sink, oven, bathtub, chair that wasn't covered in years of garbage and massive amounts of everything. The smell was beyond what you can imagine. The cries from her mother hiding in the back room were heart-wrenching, and the look on Sarah's face bore so much shame. All I could do was hug her, swallow tears, and tell her that we were all going to figure it out together. There's really no way to describe to you how completely in over my head I felt in that moment. All the training, the years of experience walking girls through family drug issues, eating disorders, crisis pregnancies, cutting, abusive boyfriends, none of it prepared me for this. We were also instantly faced with a dilemma. Should anyone be living in this house, let alone two young girls who had clearly lived their whole childhoods this way, and their ailing father who was slowly dying of ALS in the back room? Of course not. No one should live here. Should Child Services be removing Emma? Possibly yes, just by judging how clearly her mother was not in an okay state of mind to care for herself or for others. But more than all these rational thoughts and mindings, Jeff and I felt clear as day that God was asking us all to step in and show Sarah and her family that God is solid, that you can count on him like we had been telling them for years, and that they would not be left alone in their disaster. The eight of us spent the next 8 hours trying to keep hopeful smiles on our faces and busy hands to get their little home to a place that might be considered safe. God spoke, and despite so many things, we had to step up. I think of this story when I read Joshua 1. For years, Joshua was a sidekick, a cheerleader, a right-hand man, through ups and downs and twists and turns that no one saw coming. And then, one crazy day, God told him, Joshua, it's time to step up. Put your big boy pants on. Take a deep breath. It's time for radical, brave faith, because you're going to finish this job out. And as Dale Ralph Davis talks about in his book on Joshua, Moses was not just any old leader to take the place of. Davis gives 11 different references in Genesis of the promised land being promised to Abraham, which transferred to Moses, God's very special appointed leader. Davis states, hence, the theological roots of Joshua 1 are sunk deeply into the soil of Genesis 12 and following. An ancient promise is about to relieve its contemporary fulfillment. We can also look at Exodus 5 and 6 for God's reminder to Moses when he was feeling discouraged about how things were going, trying hard to get those Israelites freed from the slavery reigns of Pharaoh. Exodus 5, 22, 6 through 6, 12. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is that why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you've not rescued your people at all." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." I can't help but think about how this contemporary fulfillment must have truly not at all been what Joshua, assistant to Moses, had been imagining it would be, nor especially what he felt prepared for. In fact, when we look back at the death of Moses in Deuteronomy 34, we read, "Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord commanded Moses, which is so good and some solid preparation, but it's immediately followed by, as Davis also notes, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders, and the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all of his officials and to this whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all of Israel." Those are some serious shoes to fill. And that's some serious being called up. Have you ever been called up into something you felt truly unprepared for? Maybe an actual moment you can recall, like my moment with Sarah and Emma's family. Or maybe a season, like singleness, motherhood, marriage. Maybe the mission he sent you on, the people group he called you to love, the issues your children are struggling with, the ailment your loved one has, the mental illness you battle, the financial trouble that you hit. I'll tell you, if you know me, you know that I'm truly obsessed with my children. Being a mom was a hard-won battle for me, and the Lord took me on a crazy journey with each one of our four children, two biological and two adopted. But so many times, as much as they are my most profound gift from the Lord, as much as I tried so hard to prepare in so many ways, I feel completely 100% out of my league. Way, way fearful, way, way doubting, way, way, what in the world, Lord? and I'm only 11 years in. It's a long road ahead. That's half of it. My husband Jeff and I have our bedroom on the third floor of our house, and many nights on my way up to bed, I'll check on the kids while they're sleeping, which as a mom, you know, is when they are cutest, is when they're sleeping. They're so perfect. You know? And lots of times when I get to the top of the stairs and see Jeff, I say something to the effect of, oh my word, there are so many children down there. What have we done? And then I'll say, that's a whole lot of people problem sleeping right now, which is true, and it feels like that a lot of days. Being strong and courageous is no small task on these journeys that we're on. When Sarah Gamage asked if I would speak this fall, I said it would be a gift, but to put me on the front of the year so I'd prepare ahead of time instead of in the fall with the craziness of kids starting school and the Young Life fall schedule. The hilarious side note is I didn't know I would be selling and buying a house and moving in August. So that was just kind of, God thought that was funny. So I ended up with Joshua 1, and a few days later when the realization set in, I texted my sweet friend Ashley Frierson to share with her. For those of you that may not have known Ashley, she was a dear friend to so many of us and lost her battle with cancer a few weeks ago. Ashley had been an instant cheerleader when we moved here over 4 years ago to work with Young Life, a ministry that Ashley was always pumped about because it was about Jesus and sharing him with kids who need him and helping kids like her own and their friends grow in their faith. When we started a second adoption journey 3 years ago, Ashley instantly hopped on board. Constantly cheering, praying, asking how to help, and encouraging like crazy. After a long journey that some of you had heard about at the ladies' retreat this spring, we brought home our Crosby Moses, and Ashley greeted him with a sign she had had made that she felt the Lord gave her. Here, I'll show you the sign. It's Joshua 1. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be successful. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. I remember reading the words of the sign and looking at her hands as they were peeling from cancer treatment and thinking, if there's anyone that can speak the words strong and courageous over our Crosby's life, it's Ashley Frierson. As you know, sometimes being strong and courageous feels like the biggest ask. And when I read Joshua 1, I feel pretty convinced that Joshua was a lot like us, human and fragile. And I remember that none of us are superheroes. And that's why God had to remind him over and over. In fact, this wasn't even the first time that God had said this to Joshua. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, God had already said this to Joshua through Moses. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Why was God on repeat with this theme to Joshua? Nancy Lee DeMoss says in her series on Joshua, God knew what lay ahead for Joshua and for the children of Israel. God knew that the task to which he had called Joshua to was bigger than he could handle. God knew that the task was not humanly possible. And God knew that there were many tough battles ahead. There were fierce enemies that were going to have to be overcome in the Promised Land. And apparently, God also knew that Joshua would be prone to be easily discouraged, to become fearful in the face of those challenges. DeMoss adds, so why did God in his sovereignty, as he inspired the scripture, inspire the repetition of these phrases? Well, I'm convinced it's because God knows us and God knows what lies ahead for each of us. He knows that we are prone to be fearful and to become discouraged when we're faced with major challenges or major assignments that are beyond our human ability. I wonder myself if maybe Joshua struggled with anxiety. Maybe he was a frightful guy. Maybe he was a doubter. Maybe he was insecure in his own calling. Maybe he was distracted and fearful and untrusting. Maybe he was just like the rest of us. Saying as it does in Mark 9, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. As we will see the rest of the semester, God was not messing around with Joshua. There was serious stuff ahead, and his heart needed to be sturdied up and infused by true courage. His soul needed strength that can only come from a holy and knowing source. Just as God asked us, and just as God knew of his child Joshua, we have no courage and no strength without him. That well is dry, and it can be a real deep pit to fall into when we trust ourselves for those needs. Have you ever fallen into that deep pit of trusting yourself for your own strength and your own courage? And just as the Lord telling Joshua to be strong and courageous was by no means a promise that things ahead would be simple and safe, he's not promising the same for us either. The years to follow that deep mess we stepped into with Sarah's family, the months to follow that conversation that Ashley and I had about strength and courage, they were not simple, and they were not safe. But God was who he is, and he stood firm, and he is truly all any of us have, and all any of us have to take courage and strength from, just as with Joshua. What I love so much about the Old Testament so many times is the intricate way it continually is pointing us towards the Savior of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. What God was asking Joshua to take courage in and to have strength in was Emmanuel, God with us. God was present and never leaving with Joshua. God was present and never leaving with Sarah and Emily. God was present and never leaving with Ashley. God is present and never leaving with you. This led me in a circle back to what I taught on last year, and I feel like it's just the right place to finish. It's truly a passage that speaks so well to the character of Joshua, the character of our friend Ashley, and hopefully to our own character. Matthew 7, 24 through 25. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for what we'll learn from Joshua this year. Thank you for Joshua's courage and the strength that could have only come from you. I pray for the rain and the floods and the winds in our lives, Lord, that we're facing, Jesus. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives within us and never leaves, Lord. Help us to lean on the one that is greater than all our fear. I pray that we would cling to your word that you've given us, that as you commanded, we would not let it depart from our mouths, that we'd be careful, Lord, to do what is written, and that we would meditate on it day and night. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.